So, hi, I'm Tom Evans, and I'm talking today, absolutely thrilled to be talking today, to Ninian Boyle, who's written this amazing book called In the Lion's Paw. Hi, Ninian.
Hi, Tom. Nice to see you.
Fantastic. So, great book. And I think we should share the amazing coincidence about this book as well, shouldn't we? So, because we met each other, although we didn't really know this, about 4 or 5 years ago, and I bought a Meade ETX 90 telescope with Autostar from you.
That's right. Yes, you did. I vaguely remember it. it was a while ago now.
And I had great fun with that telescope. Loved playing with it. Never got the Autostar to work, but that's more my problem than anything else. So, in fact, I didn't even take it out of the box. I just had fun because it's such a great quality telescope. And I've been fascinated with the stars, as you are. And then you contacted me last year, didn't you, about this book you'd written, whether I could help you get it published. And it is now published on Kindle and in print. And we found out that we've both written novels about supernovas that kind of gone off around the same time, about 4 days from each other.
Yeah, weird coincidence, that.
Which is kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah.
Very strange, yeah.
Yeah. And
must not be in the stars, Tom.
It must be. I mean, and obviously, supernovas go off all the time.
Well, they do, yes.
Yeah. Great. I mean, in a galaxy far, far away, one must be going off right as we speak, I would imagine.
I'm sure you're right. That's right. It's a big universe, and stars do explode frequently. But normally, as you say, in a galaxy far, far away, so we don't usually see them. Well, not without the aid of large telescopes, anyway.
But what's to stop one going off near us right now?
Ah, well, that's a good question, isn't it? There are a few candidates.
Yeah.
And I know that you've dealt with one in your book, but I've also dealt with one in my book.
Yeah.
And, it's a possibility. And my book is really a speculation, if you like, on what might happen should one go off at, say, Christmas Eve this coming year. Yeah. And the repercussions of it.
I love that, and I love the way that you've taken the sort of very human angle of what would happen on this planet and how our media would react and some of the various conspiracy theories. And it's almost like, Dr. Brian Cox has met Dan Brown in this book, you know. I love the way you've mixed the two together.
I'm flattered, thank you. That's really good.
And it's a real... I've just been reading some of the reviews on Amazon as well, and you're getting some great 5-star reviews. People seem to be loving it.
Yeah, I'm really chuffed about that, and obviously any author would be delighted for that. And I'm a first-time novelist as well, so I've written other things before, but normally technical things. Mm. And to have that reaction is very gratifying, shall I say?
Yeah, and what was your motivation then for writing the book? What were you hoping to get from it?
Well, it started really because quite a few people have been. Asking me about the whole 2012 thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I know your story deals with the supernova going off on the 21st of December, which is when, of course, the Mayan calendar finishes. But this has been causing quite a rumpus on the internet, I noticed, and a lot of people seriously getting quite concerned about it.
Seriously? Wow.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of kind of speculation, if you like, about it being the end of the world and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so... I mean, obviously it's complete nonsense, but I wondered what would happen, say, if the date was not the 21st of December, but the 24th or 25th of December, linked it in with the whole Christian thing of the star in the east and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, perhaps if this supernova were discovered by a Roman Catholic priest, that could add another slant to the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I spoil the story for potential readers, but well, I hope you get where this is going. You know, it's kind of just a speculation as to what might happen and how people would react.
I loved it, and I didn't read it as a book. I read it as a film script, so I think that it should get snapped up.
Well, funny you should say that. Quite a few people have said to me, "Oh, you know, when's the film coming out?" And I thought, well, I don't know any film producers, but if there's any out there, you know, I'm willing to talk. But funny enough, when I actually wrote the book, I was kind of watching the film in my head. I don't know if this is common with authors to do that, but I had this kind of story going on in my head, and I was kind of hastily typing it out as it was playing out this, each scenario, you know.
Yes.
And yeah, it was fun. It was a really enjoyable experience to write, actually.
So do you think that now you've got, because you've got some really strong characters in the book, do you see that there's going to be some sequels and we're going to see them coming up again?
No pressure, right? Yes, possibly, possibly. I'm thinking, I have an idea for another story which might involve one of the characters anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say which one,
yes.
But yeah, there is, it won't be exactly a sequel, but say maybe a linked story.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Now, for someone like me who writes primarily non-fiction books that support my business, so obviously you've got a business as a, as an astronomer and someone that sort of helps and consults and trains and teaches. Mm. Have you found that writing a fiction book has helped your profile and sort of also helped you in business and with connections and that sort of thing?
It's a bit difficult to say at the moment. It's rather early days. It hasn't been long published. But yes, I've had a few people who've asked me about astronomical things since the book has been published.
Right.
So... yes, I suppose if you're thinking about it as maybe kind of a business card, in a way it is, but perhaps that might have been more effective if I'd written another technical book. But yeah, I think I'm going to have to sort of take a rain check on that one because I don't really know. Maybe in a couple of months' time I'll have more of an idea of how that's actually worked. But yeah, there's obviously going to be some kind of... connection, some kind of knock-on effect, if you like.
Yeah. And how? What would you say was the most difficult thing in the writing process, writing and publishing process that you had to overcome as a writer?
Yes. Well, that's a good question. I think the writing, in many ways, was the easy bit. Actually, the whole public, getting the thing published was quite difficult. I went down the conventional route originally of trying to find a literary agent or a publisher, which of course proved nigh on impossible, as I'm sure most first-time novelists have found. But it was interesting learning how to do the self-publishing thing, and obviously that's where I contacted you because I heard of your experience with it, and I must say you've been fantastically helpful. So
oh, thank you.
I'll get a chance to. Thank you publicly. It was really good myself, thanks.
Always appreciated.
And yes, obviously the next stage, if you like, and as you very sensibly pointed out to me, is the marketing of it. And that's proving an interesting challenge as well. But,
yeah, I wrote something today saying that when you write and publish a book, it's 50% of it is getting the book written and published. And then the remaining 80% is marketing it.
That's right. That's true. I've obviously done a bit of marketing and stuff with running businesses before, but it's kind of different with a book because although you're not actually selling a particularly expensive item, people sometimes are a little resistant, I found, to buying books, that particularly from authors that they don't know. If my name was Dan Brown, I'm sure they'd be flooding out the door. But it's strange that people are a little resistant to taking a punt on something they're not sure about. But, well, as I say, we're working on it.
And what about, because you got it on the Kindle and in print, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Have you noticed, have you tracked your stats and saw how many people are buying the Kindle version, how many people are buying the printed version?
Yeah, Kindle version's outselling the printed version by quite a significant margin.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. I suppose, you know, for a couple of quid on Kindle, people are willing to take the punt, if you like. I just think it's such a new piece of technology. People are enjoying it, aren't they, as well? It's a kind of novelty factor to it, I think.
Yeah, and I tell you, you've done... I wrote a blog some time ago about writing for the Kindle. And without you knowing it, you've actually written the book so it's Kindle-friendly because the chapters are nice and short.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's right. Well, it was a bit of a problem when I actually came to doing the paper version of it because...
Yeah.
They aren't true chapters, they're sort of sequences of time. And so I wasn't quite sure how to lay it out in the book, but I think I kind of overcame it. And in fact, the idea that you gave me for doing a little graphic at each time change was, I think, a stroke of genius on your part, actually.
Thank you.
It was a light bulb moment for me when you said that, that's for
Indeed.
sure.
Well, that's the light bulb moment is a meat and they're my stock in trade and meat and two veg, really. So I love doing those.
That's
Oh, that's
wonderful.
great. So, and I'll tell you, can I give you a little tip? Hope that no one from Amazon is listening to this interview, but I'll give you a
Okay.
tip that another author that worked with me did, and from another author coach, both would be nameless because you're not supposed to bend the algorithm, but someone told me that if you do a thing called price pumping, right, and what you do is strategically lower the price for a while to maybe 99 pence, it can
Right.
get you up the ranking and then you can change the price back again and that sort of
Oh,
stuff. And it may be like a January sale or something like that. And one of the authors I work with got in the top Kindle 100 in the UK store using that technique. So
Okay, really?
very
Oh, well,
impressed
thank
with
you
it
for that
all.
tip.
Yeah.
Well,
But and
I'll have a
obviously,
look at
you know, I think that nowadays that's great that we've got that control over our
that.
assets as authors and control over pricing, how much royalty we get and that sort of thing. So just might be worth an idea because you know, a million books sold at 99 cents is better than 10,000 sold at $2. You know,
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
definitely.
And I
It's
love that flexibility, and I love the way that publishing is slewed into the hands of the author, which is great.
Yeah, that's right.
Great.
Always my
Well,
hands zooming in again.
absolutely. Well, listen, it's been really great to catch up with you. Let's talk again in a few months' time and do a sort of catch up on where the sales and market is going, what doors it's opened for you.
That'd be
And
great.
also to see whether we know anything more about these supernovas going off. Just so everyone's listening, mine goes off on the 21st of December, but it's 116 light years away, so we'll be all right, roughly, as long as you don't believe in reincarnation. So,
Well, mine was 320 years ago, but it's actually seen on Christmas Eve,
I know, and that isn't that great how
you
we're talking about this like we know what we're talking about and stuff like that. But most people think, well, what you know, they have trouble thinking about light get taking 8.5 minutes to get from the sun to the earth,
That's
or as
right.
I think it's something like 100,000 years to get from the center of the sun to the outside of the sun or something like that, isn't it?
Maybe even millions of years. It's
Yeah.
incredible to think that. Well, the universe is just so vast. It's just jaw-dropping, really.
And that's what's so good about the
Time.
way you write it, is that you take these really quite complex themes and make them very, very accessible, which I think is just
Right.
great. So there's always two
Well,
things going on with the book, you know?
I suppose it's what I've done in teaching anyway,
Yeah.
because it can be a difficult subject, but it isn't really once you grasp some basic kind of concepts with it. And to my mind, a good teacher is somebody who can make a slightly difficult subject accessible. So I hope I've
Fantastic.
done a reasonably good job there.
I think you did indeed. Great. There's a great romp, great read. So in the lines, Paul, where do people find out about you and Ninian?
Well, I've actually got a website about the book,
Yeah.
www.inthelinespaul.com,
Yeah.
or if you're interested in my astronomical stuff, it's www.astronomyknowhow, all one word, .com, and of course you can read a bit about it on Amazon as well.
Fabulous. And I'll put those links in the just below the interview when we podcast it. So great to talk to you. Lovely to see you. And
Thank you, Tom.
we'll catch up again
Okay.
soon, I hope.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Bye
Take
for now.
care. Bye now.
Bye.